Look at verse 13. Thou hast been in the Garden of Eden. Now, this is focused. By the way, the king of Tyre was never in the Garden of Eden. And so at verse 13, it changes its focus, this particular prophecy. Thou hast been in the Garden of Eden. And then look at the last phrase there in verse 13. In the day that thou was created. So it is that this individual, Lucifer, the most prominent of all creatures, was in the Garden of Eden on his creation time. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Now it says he was in the Garden of Eden. I draw your attention to the fact it says he was in the holy mountain of God, wherever that location was. Go with me to Daniel chapter 9 just for a second. Keep your finger here. We'll come back. But go to Daniel chapter 9 and let me show you a definition or an interpretation of that phrase, the holy mountain of God. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 16. This is Daniel's prayer after he realized where he was in God's time. Look at verse 16. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. And so he is defining what the holy mountain of God is. It is the city of Jerusalem. Look at verse 20. For while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. He's talking about the city of Jerusalem. That phrase, the holy mountain of God, is used 18 times in the Old Testament. If you would like, I can give you the different locations, or you can go to the concordance and look it up as well yourself. But this is talking about the city of Jerusalem. Now, that gives me the first hint. Yesterday, I talked about letting you know where the Garden of Eden was originally located, where it is today and where it shall be in the future. And so Lucifer is in the holy mountain of God, synonymous with the Garden of Eden. The holy mountain of God is used twice in chapter 28. It's used 16 other times throughout the Old Testament. And every other time that it's used, it in its context, is talking about the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. I don't have a lot of time to dig into that, maybe a little bit more in another session about the Garden of Eden. But I tell you that the Garden of Eden, the original location of the Garden of Eden, is the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. Under that gold-domed building, that Dome of the Rock, as you may refer to it, is what the Jewish people call the foundation stone. This is year 5767 in the Jewish calendar. In other words, they believe creation took place 5,767 years ago. And for those 5,767 years, they have believed that the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered Isaac, 23rd chapter of the book of Genesis, where King David purchased from Ornan the Jebusite, the last chapter in 2 Samuel, where Solomon built that temple, 2 Chronicles 3:1, Mount Moriah. That is the original site of the Garden of Eden. But I just simply point out to you that Lucifer, this prominent cherub that God placed in his position, again, verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou hast been upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. By the way, that would not be applicable for the king of Tyre. So again, I'm pointing out this chapter is not dealing only with the king of Tyre, but with Lucifer. And he was perfect in his ways until iniquity was found in him. And thus he is going to fall. This will be the fall. And why is he going to fall? Go back to Isaiah 14 just for a moment. In Isaiah 14, we find out his name. We find out why he fell. Angels are created or were created with a free will, as is man. Every angel had an opportunity to exercise his free will. You and I have a free will. The difference between human free will and angelic free will is that we can continue to change our mind as we exercise a free will. But an angel has only one opportunity to exercise his free will, and at that point, he is locked in for eternity. And so there's no redemption for an angel once he has exercised his free will and chosen who he is going to go with. Notice, and I'll just prove that he has a free will. Look at verse 12, Isaiah chapter 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? That was his name, son of the morning. How have thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which dost weaken the nations? Verse 13, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will. That is an exercise of free will. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. By the way, you go to the book of Psalm, chapter 48, verse 2. That is a description of the city of Jerusalem. And so Satan is saying, Lucifer, who's going to become Satan, is making the statement, not only will I go into the heavens, not only will I be equal with God, not only will I do this, but I will be worshipped in Jerusalem. Keep that thought in mind as we go through our study. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Look at this last one. I will be like the Most High. And when Lucifer makes that statement, the battle of the ages begins. Because at that point in time, and we're going to see probably when Lucifer would have fallen and taken one-third of the angels with him, who would also determine that they were going to exercise their free will and rebel against God, that at that point in time, what had been a theocracy through the first three chapters of the book of Genesis became a Satanocracy. And a theocracy will not be re-implemented until the last three chapters of the Bible. So you have in Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, a theocracy. God controlling the governing of the humankind. In the last three chapters of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapters 20, 21, and 22, you have a theocracy once again implemented. In chapter 20, verses 4, 5, and 6, it's the establishment of the millennial kingdom, and that will be a theocratic government. But all in between, chapter 3 of Genesis and chapter 20 of Revelation, all in between, Satan has been the ruler of this world. He is the king in charge under, listen please, under the sovereignty of Almighty God. God allows him to be that. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted? What did Satan say to him? All you have to do is this, and I will give you the kingdoms of the world. Now, he could not have offered the kingdoms of the world to Jesus if he didn't have the kingdoms of the world. He is the one controlling this world today. It is a Satanocracy that is in place at this point in time. Well, I take you to that bit of information in the book of Isaiah for the purpose of understanding that he can exercise his free will.